five platform items. Thank you all.
Well, we want to thank everyone for listening today. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour, with the team here. And we invite you back next Saturday morning, 8 a.m., when we'll have another outstanding program about what's going on in Jacksonville.
It's time for It's All About Literacy on Praise 107.9. The mission of It's All About Literacy is to provide high quality, diverse, and accessible information and services to and for each individual listener that will enhance the quality of life for all people of all ages, cultures, and communities, regardless of their abilities or deficiencies. And now, here are Dr. Kathy and Sister Gail.
Good morning, Jacksonville.
Good morning.
Welcome to It's All About Literacy. We hope that you've had a wonderful week, and we're so glad that you are joining us again in our literacy classroom. We're so very, very grateful because actually it was last Saturday, was actually 1 year that we've been here, and we certainly do thank Praise 107.9, the administrative and the staff, but most importantly, we give honor and praises to God for our being here, because we came to be here for Literacy Month, October, and then it went to November, and then December,
and so on,
and so on, and so on. And we're now on the periphery of preparing to celebrate our 1 year anniversary.
It's our anniversary.
It's our anniversary. And today our special guest will be our special guest at our anniversary on October 21st at the Ritz. We are going to have Auntie Roz. Some of you all know her as the Peanut Lady. Mrs. Rosalind Burroughs is our guest today and is in the studio with us. So you all will be listening to her, and she'll be sharing so much. She's truly a woman of wealth and knowledge. Or knowledge of wealth and wealth of knowledge. Wealth, period. Okay. And she,
however you want to define.
Oh, mercy. we were just so honored to visit her at her home. I got to take you. I mean, it's just so wonderful. She lives in a museum.
Okay.
Oh, it's just really.
I need to take that tour.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, paid visits. Okay.
It's now she's wonderful. Become your agent. The paid museum tour. I like it.
Listen, 30%. Okay. but it's wonderful, and you will find that she's just as warm and wonderful and as we would say, your everyday person. Okay.
Gotcha.
Because in the museum, she's in the kitchen making chicken salad. It was just a wonderful day. And so much to share, never enough time. But we want to encourage you all to please remember, mark your calendar, save the date, and join us on October 21st, which is Saturday, at the Ritz. I believe that's 819 North Davis Street. From 2 to 5, we will be there featured with Auntie Roz. There'll be a special appearance by Aunt Diva Mo, whom you've met a few weeks ago. There'll be the Voices of Ritz. And what's really, really special to us is the fact that we will be presenting projects and programs for elementary, middle, and high school and after students. We have selected books by African Americans and authors, rather, and some of those selected authors will actually be there, and it's just going to be a wonderful day in the neighborhood, not with Mr. Rogers, but with Aunt Roz.
Oh, man.
Good morning,
with Mr. Rogers.
Good morning, Jacksonville, and both of all of you who are here in the studio. I am so happy to be here, and thanks for inviting me.
Oh, we're happy to have you, and we're so honored to have you as our guest. Now, it's all about literacy, and we have learned that literacy is not just academic. It's not just in the classroom. It is financial. It is social. It is civic. Literacy is knowing what you know, knowing what you need to know, knowing that you do not know what you need to know, knowing how to access what you need to know, and then being able to apply it once you've come to know it. Remember the elevator definition that I always use. You have a microwave oven. It heats and it defrosts, but perhaps you don't know how to use the defroster. So you know that microwave defrosts, but you know you don't know how to do it. So you know you need to know how to do it. So then you take steps and you learn how to do it. And once you learn how to do it, you apply those instructions. That's what you've learned. That process is called literacy. Therefore, literacy is a process that is with us in everything we do. Everything we do. If you don't learn that a dollar spent is just a dollar spent, and if you need that dollar and you're going to spend it for what you want, then you don't have a dollar for what you need. So, you know, we can stop a clock, but we can't stop time. Man. Once a dollar is gone, it's gone. So we have to be very careful with our decisions. We have to make sure that we're making the right decisions. We can't be defensive and give justifications and excuses. We must be accountable. And that's where we run into many of our problems. We've got to be honest with ourselves. We've got to be as strong in our objectivity as we are in our proclivity. And that's within itself is a challenge, because that means that you've got to be objective with yourself. And we do that biasly, because we're just only going to be wrong just so much.
But we
can't do that. And until you're able to move yourself away from the picture and be very honest with yourself, till you be able to make those decisions outside the box of which you live, more than likely you're going to be in that carousel of learning. And that carousel goes round and round and round. It's called the school of hard knocks. And until you learn that, you won't be able to move away from that. And certainly we do hope and trust and pray that what you have been able to take away from this hour on Saturdays from 9 to 10 with Sister Gail and me, our lessons of literacy, we certainly do pray that you have been able to enhance your view, that you have been able to increase your objectivity, and certainly that your platform, if you will, of literacy and understanding has really increased, improved, enlightened. If you can't make a difference, then you're not doing all that you are designed to do. If you can't, better yet, if you are not making a difference, there's no such thing as can't. If you are not making a difference, then you're not doing all that you are designed to do. I submit to you and encourage you to look within yourselves. Be honest. Everything that you need, you came here with it. God created you for a reason, and everything that you need to reach your actual level of performance, you came with it. There's nothing that you sprung or sprigged after you came. You came with all of your fingers. You came with all your toes. You came with all your body parts. During our time from birth to where we are, it grew. It developed. And so it is with our minds, our brains, our spirits within us, our consciousness came with us. It has to develop. Let me encourage you to develop that. It's there. The fact that you are still here, by virtue of the fact that you're still here, is proof that you have outlasted all your crises. Some have knocked you down, but they haven't knocked you out. Be encouraged and know that God created you for a reason. And the scriptures tells you that he will not fail to complete what he has started. But he's such a merciful and wonderful God that he leaves it up to you. Make those choices right. That process too is literacy. And so we encourage you to continue to listen in to us. If there are questions or something that you need, resources or referrals that we can have or help you with, please feel free to call us at 296-2251. If we don't have the answer today, Sister Gail will get it for you and give it to you tomorrow. Say amen, Sister Gail. I'm saying amen for her. She's just overwhelmed because she's just that knowledgeable. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Auntie Roz, the peanut lady. Happy Saturday.
All About Kids Preschool and VPK Music Academy is now enrolling. All About Kids specializes in infant and toddler care, preschool, voluntary pre-kindergarten VPK, nutritional gardening, and VPK Music Academy, where your young person can learn to play the violin. All About Kids Preschool and VPK Music Academy accepts vouchers from Episcopal Children's Services, Early Learning Coalition, ELC, Success by Six, V. VPK, and Teen Parent. When children are exposed to music education at an early age, they excel in all subjects later in life. Give your child an early advantage. Stop by today. All About Kids is conveniently located at Pearl and 36th Streets. Come experience child care at its best. All About Kids Preschool and VPK Music Academy. Success by 6 starts here at All About Kids. Call 353-2800. Qualify today for this 2-year free preschool program.
Just in case you didn't know.
Here's what you missed on the Willie Mo Jr. Show. Tasha Cobbs, Leonard, I want to rewind to this wedding, though, because I seen that dress you had on.
Listen.
Who was the designer for that dress?
I literally walked in David's Bridal. Nobody was with me. And I saw this dress. And I walked in David's Bridal and was like, I'm getting this dress today.
It was fitting.
Mama
right.
didn't
it
like that.
Mama didn't like it.
Mm-mm. She was like, how you get a dress and I'm not there?
Willie Moore Jr. is on your radio.
Right home with the Willie Moore Jr. Show on Praise 107.9.
Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. We are free at last.
Praise 107.9.
Will you put that in this atmosphere? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Real simple song. I want to teach it to you tonight.
The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear?
You say it.
Whom shall I be afraid?
No, no.
The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? I will wait on you.
Raise your voice. Hey.
I will wait on you.
Yeah. Say it again. Say.
I will trust in you.
Yeah. Sing.
I will trust in you.
The next part goes like this. Listen, I want you to go home singing this.
I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord.
Come on, you stand.
I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. The Lord is my light and salvation. Who shall I fear? Who shall I be afraid?
Listen, Jack.
will see the goodness of the Lord.
Sing it without the music. Sing.
I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord.
One more time with your hands lifted.
Good morning, everyone. 21 past the hour. Thanks so much for joining us. It's All About Literacy from Jacksonville's Praise 107.9. Once again, Dr. Kathy and Sister Gail and special guest.
Good morning again, and welcome. If you're just joining us, we're happy to have you here with It's All About Literacy. Our special guest today will be also our special guest at October 21st, our celebration at the Ritz. Auntie Roz, Ms. Roz Burrows, the peanut lady. Welcome again, Auntie Roz.
Thank you. I'm just happy to be here and to listen to you and Sister Gail.
Well, we're happy to have you here too. Listen, you're one of the persons that actually led the way and made it possible for people like me and Sister Gail to come. And thank you. And thank you so much. Thank you so much. Because your name, who you are, the things that you've done, the difference that you've made, all goes before you and speaks very well of you. And no one can do that but you.
Well, thank you. I'm just happy to have gotten my start right here in Jacksonville. I grew up on the north side, which I live right now and love. I love being in the neighborhood, trying to be an example for the children who are in the neighborhood. So when I came back home from New York, I chose to be where I am, and I'm happy being there. That's on the north side.
Okay. And that's so important. That's so important because our children, our students, you know, it's really something that I'm seeing this boy. I agree with you. Aging is really something. But it's so important that we are able to provide models for them that they can reach out and touch rather than just seeing somebody on the television.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because many times what they see on the television, they forget that it's a script.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real. Mm-hmm. It's not real, you know? And that's a subject within itself. But the fact that you are right there, you can reach out and touch Auntie Roz, you know? And Auntie Roz has done it all. Auntie Roz has been on Broadway, in the theater. Auntie Roz has been all over the world, and Auntie Roz sings and dances, and Auntie Roz teaches.
Oh, yeah.
And on behalf of the education and the educators and the parents and everybody, I say thank you.
Oh, I think once you're a teacher, you're always a teacher. And I started out in the classroom. I think my first job was here in Jacksonville at San Mateo Elementary School.
Okay.
Back in 1968.
Oh, wow.
Gail, were you born then?
Yes, I was. Believe it or not, I was. Thank you for thinking that I wasn't, though.
But I everything that I've done, I have enjoyed. I love being a teacher, and I'm always a teacher. As I said, I started out teaching second grade at San Mateo.
Wonderful.
I'm credentialed by having a master's in early childhood.
Wonderful.
And I love it. I love it.
It really is. You really do. Once you're a teacher, you do love it.
Yes.
You do love it. You know, I won't say I wasted a lot of years, but I spent years away from education, defiant education, because everybody in my house was educators, and I grew up with sin, and I acknowledge that I am not teaching myself a living, but look at me, and I enjoy it. I enjoy it, you know, and it is true that when you go against the grain from what God has put in you to do, you know, you may find some enjoyment for the way, but the real, real enjoyment of it all is doing what you're created to do.
Yeah.
And teachers are born.
They are.
Teachers are born. That is not to say that you cannot learn the craft or be just as effective with the skill in doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
But those teachers that are born have this innateness, has a with-itness, as I call, that we can't explain. And I'm sure you agree.
Oh, I do agree. And my father, he thought the best job or the best thing that a person could do was to be a teacher. And when he died, I was still teaching.
Yeah.
So he was very happy that I was a teacher. That was one of the best things that you could do or you could be. And I, like I said, I loved it. I've always loved it. And even when I was in New York and going around the country, around the world, I found opportunities to teach. If I were in Japan, I would go in the schools and learn a song in Japanese and teach a song in English.
Yes.
And I found a way to always use my little teaching skills and learn myself, because it is all about literacy.
It is.
And we are learning everything. Everything we do, it's literacy, and we're learning.
Right. And the truth is, we're all teachers.
Yes.
Formally and informally. Mm-hmm. You know, the saying that the parents are the first teachers, and it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sister Gail has the statement, you know, more is caught than taught. And it's because it's visual learning. They see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all teachers.
Yes,
yeah.
We are.
Yeah. And it's a wonderful thing. And that's what you do with the peanut. Tell us about it.
Okay. The peanut show. I'll tell you how I started with the peanut show. I work for this music publishing company that Pearson Education that published books from K through 8.
Right.
And I was asked to teach a lesson. I sing the songs
that
on the accompany the books. There are CDs that accompany music books. So my job was to sing some of the songs that would be appearing in the music book.
Mm-hmm.
So then they just knew me as the publishers and producers just knew me as a singer. So they found out that I'm also a teacher, and they asked me to, could I teach a jazz lesson? And so, for kindergartners. And I said, oh, yeah. So I thought about Dizzy Gillespie's Salt Peanuts.
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
I figured I could teach a specific rhythmic pattern by that Salt Peanuts, because it goes like
right, like Calypso
Peeps. Salt Peanuts, Salt Peanuts. And so by teaching that method, that rhythmic pattern, the kids would wait to hear Salt Peanuts, Salt Peanuts, and that's when they'd come in.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that would be kind of clever, because, you know, we can listen to patterns and get it like that.
Right.
So then after I taught the lesson, they loved that. And then they said, well, look, we want to use this lesson to open our unit on rhythm. And that was great. I said, but we need a song. So would you believe my first song was... They said, well, we'll ask some of our writers, our songwriters, to write a song about peanuts. And I said, well, heck, I can make a rhythm, and I can, you know, create a little song.
Right,
so
I'm a teacher.
My own song.
Right, because I'm a teacher.
I am a teacher. So I wrote this song called I Love Peanuts. And so they liked the song. Uh-oh. I love peanuts in a candy bar. I love peanuts in a can or a jar. I've got a little place in my backpack to keep my peanuts, my favorite snack.
Oh,
monkeys love peanuts, elephants too. I found that out from the trip to the zoo. Just open those shells, go crack, crack, crack. Peanuts, peanuts, my favorite snack. Anyway, when all
this is wonderful. That's wonderful. So and what label got that?
No, but it's in the books. It's in all the first grade books all around the country. You'll see
wonderful.
I love peanuts in the first grade books for the Pearson Education.
Yes.
I can't even think what it's called.
I remember Pearson. But they're not just in elementary and primary school. They're in secondary and post-secondary schools now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because I've used some of Pearson's at the college level.
Okay.
So they've really grown.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and you helped them, I'm sure.
And you all don't know that voice, that's that Broadway voice.
Oh, of course it is.
And she was in one of my favorite musicals, The Sound of Music. So
yes. Right. The Sound, right. I told you this is a theatrical production here.
You know, I might have to do a little bit of that Climb Every Mountain.
Oh, okay. Boy, that was my first audition. Mm-hmm. I sang that song.
And she sang it well. That's the first song I heard you sing.
Is that right?
Climb Every Mountain.
Oh, wow.
Right, well, right.
But it's just so many ways to do what I do, and I've just been blessed to have had the opportunity to share and to teach and to use whatever I can to teach in any way. And I remember how I got this Peanut Show was I was going to do a lecture at LSU, Louisiana State.
Right.
University. And I was going to do that. And the guy says, so I call the school system. And I said, look, do you have anything for me to do that's income producing while I'm in the area? And he said, well, all our kids are going to be testing during the time you're here. The only kids that are available are our kindergartners. Do you have anything for kindergartners? So I said, oh, yeah, I have a show called The Peanut Show. I just made that up because I figured I had a couple of months. I could write a show.
right. That's right.
You know, I got time.
Listen, I understand
that. I could do that.
Create it as you go.
Yes. Yeah, so they bus their kids to the school board and all of the kindergartners when I got there. And I had written that. I did a little lesson about George Washington Carver because how can you do a lesson on the peanut without
him?
So I ended up just using the peanut as a vehicle to teach reading, science, math, whatever, but the peanut was my vehicle. Then I got popular. They created me a set. Then they let me keep the set. This happened in Louisiana, and that's how I got started doing the Peanut Show.
Isn't that wonderful?
And when I started it, I did it by myself. It was a one-woman show. I told a story about peanuts. I made up games about peanuts. But it was really focused for the maybe K through second. Mm-hmm. And next thing I know, I was the peanut lady. So, and I don't mind that name. I don't mind being the peanut lady. And I see children now who saw me when I started in 2001 with the Peanut Show that are in high school and college. Oh, you're the peanut lady. So I'm happy to be known as the peanut lady.
So your show is doing some visual literacy, a little scientific literacy with the peanuts.
With the peanuts.
Everything. Mm-hmm. And that is just wonderful. Literacy,
so that's all encompassing, and that's really good.
Yeah. And that's real literacy.
It is.
That's real literacy. Mm-hmm. Such is going to be, I'm looking forward to that Saturday. I really am, because when I tell folk, oh, our guest is going to be Auntie Roz, right away they say, oh, the peanut lady. Peanut lady. And I'm happy because, you know, I'm not from Jacksonville, but Mrs. Kitchen, Ms. Elaine Kitchen, who was also one of our guests, one of the best storytellers, you know, and perhaps listening today, she said to me, you've got to get the peanut lady in here. Remember, and I told you, you were in New York. Mm-hmm. You were busy then. Yeah. So I'm packing up. I said, this lady, and I said to Miss Kitchen, this lady's on Broadway. She is not thinking about it's all about literacy right about now, okay?
I'm always thinking about it's all about literacy.
Right, and you were on your way to Texas.
I was, okay.
Yes, you said you were coming here in February for a few days, and you were going to be moving on to Texas, but you'd be back.
Okay, and I am here.
And you're here.
I moved home. This is my home. I live here now. And I'm happy to be back in Jacksonville. I gave up my place in New York after 40 years.
Wow. Right. So, because this was last year.
Yeah.
You made somebody happy.
Yeah. The people who got my apartment, I think they're the happy
ones.
That's
what we're talking about. You made them happy.
Yeah. But New York was good for me. And I still work and I still travel. So, and doing the Peanut Show.
Okay.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I did a little presentation last Saturday for directors of daycare centers.
Wonderful. And we want to invite those same daycare centers and even more daycare centers, the parents and children, October 1st to see the Peanut Lady. 21st, I'm sorry. October 21st at the Ritz. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's all about literacy.
Everybody talking. Feel free to talk about us amongst your friends.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
You did not create me. it's a worry. You did not create me to fear, but you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Help me say yeah.
Gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9.
107.9.
Praise 107.9.
pushing towards the mark. I'm pressing for the prize. I can give up now, 'cause I've come to realize that these problems that I'm facing are just tests to win the race. I know that God will get me through. These obstacles of life, just trying to get ahead. I keep my goals in front of me, the plans you set ahead. I admit it gets hard sometimes, and I want to just give up. God will get me through. Yeah, 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 yeah. For God knows all the plans, and He will guide us through them. Plans are not to harm you, but to prosper and to help you. Give us hope for the future. We're gonna win. Just keep on saying to yourself that God will get me through this. That God will get me through this. God will get me through, yes. God, He will get me through. Sing it with me now. Will get me, yes, He will. God, get me through it, yes, it will. I tried it, yeah. We'll gonna get you through. You can't tell me no different, my brother, 'cause I know, and I've tried it. I know it will. Yes, it will. Get me through. Every time, in every way, we'll get me through.
We're back. It's all about literacy. Miss Ross, tell us about it.
Oh, okay. You want to know what we're going to do on the 21st?
Okay, we can do that.
People come out. All right. I teach. I have some private acting students, and they are from about 4 to 8. They're really good, and Gail, one is a rapper.
Okay.
And I work with him on interviewing. Because now, you know, he wants to go on Ellen and all these right. places. And he's really a good little rapper. Mm-hmm. But he needs
some
help.
Polishing.
He needs some help in interviewing and, mm-hmm. and feeling confident about right. speaking. And so that's what we work on. So I'm going to invite a couple of the students that I work with to do some little demonstrating, and I will it will be interactive with the audience. I'll sing and
that's
probably
wonderful.
Teach a couple of songs and show how learning could be fun.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Learning
because that's
is
my
fun.
Whole thing. You know, make learning fun, and the kids don't even realize that they're learning. They're having so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about exposure. You know,
it
so
is.
When
it
we
is.
Expose our kids to different and everyone to different things, you know, they just soar.
Right. And when they are exposed to more, when they're reading those kinds of reading about those things in the textbook and different things, it makes them be able to relate.
Right.
And if you can relate to it, you're going to be more interested in it.
Right.
You know, and comprehend it better.
Mm-hmm.
I was teaching a lesson last year on it was called the ravine. And they were describing a ravine and all of that, but it wasn't until I actually found a picture mm-hmm. of a Hawaiian ravine. It was like, okay, and this is what they're talking about. It's like, oh, because they'd never seen it.
Right.
So it's hard to relate. So what you're doing is helping them to be able to relate
mm-hmm.
and exposing
mm-hmm.
them to other things.
Yeah, I remember the first time I went to Alaska and saw the glaciers. I mean, mm-hmm. when you right. actually experience it,
right.
it is different from
right.
even reading about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember as a kindergarten teacher, we went on a lot of field trips because I really thought that if the kids are experiencing and exposed mm-hmm. to things, let me go to the fish market, go to the nursery, whatever we're doing. And that's all about literacy.
Right, right, right. And even with those in those areas that they have not experienced or have no idea, it expands their imagination.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's one of the problems that our students are having in school now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no creativity. You know, and
you're right.
And sadly we have parents that unaware, I believe, mm-hmm. unaware are really crushing and stagnating the imagination.
That's
you know,
right.
we're talking too much about Santa Claus, and we're talking too much about the Easter Bunny. We're limiting the imagination,
mm-hmm.
and it's okay to be disappointed later on, because then we learn how to deal with disappointment. You know,
mm-hmm.
so either way, there's a lesson there.
Right.
You
right.
know, there's a lesson there. So when you read. Yes, I remember I had a teacher that said you can go anywhere you want to go in a book,
mm-hmm.
you know, because your mind takes you there.
Right.
And we come with that possibility and that ability in our minds.
Yes.
We just have to develop it.
We do. You're right.
Yeah. And reading does that.
It does.
Yeah.
Reading
yeah.
and visiting and going out, and it's just. Oh, gee, I can't say enough about exposure, you know, and I can't say enough about parents being involved with their children.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And anything. You know, I remember I was working with some children once, and I said to the parents, they hear you speak. You have to stop. And I don't, you know, and I'm so forceful about, I don't hear the end of that word.
Absolutely.
You know, so they hear you talk, so you can't allow them to get away with being lazy with their speech.
But they talk like you.
Right.
More
and,
is
right.
caught than taught.
That's
and
right.
so they get on me, Miss James, you just won't let us say it any kind of way. No, we use proper mm-hmm. grammar here. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And we're going to display proper
and
behavior.
And they write the way they speak.
Yes.
The way they text even more, so.
Well, that's another story. And you know, the Ebonics and all, you know, but that's not the way of the world.
No,
That's not the way of the mm-hmm. world. Let's not learn the shortcut. Let's not learn the abbreviation mm-hmm. until we learn the right way.
Right.
Right.
Unfortunately, yeah. we have to try to break that up because they're mm-hmm. learning it the incorrect way first, so that's what's truly ingrained.
Right, yeah. And then you got to unlearn that
yeah.
and relearn. Whereas, as you said, if it's taught in the beginning, I can remember, I've said before, I can remember practicing what I'm about to say before I'd speak in front of my mother because I knew I was going to pick the right.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
I just thought about a little kid that I was working with. He was coming to the Peanut Show to be a part of it. He was going to be the announcer, and I had worked with him by himself. So then when I took him over to see the other children, he got very shy because they were very confident in their speak. And so I can't even remember his name. And he was saying, I said, what are you saying? He says, I'm not going to say it. And so I said, I don't understand what you're saying. And finally he said to me, Auntie Roz, I don't want to do it. And that was so funny because he was just intimidated by the other children. But I said, well, you are going to do it. And so, and he ended up being one of the best little actors, you know. So right. They just have to grow accustomed
right.
to excellence.
Right, right. Because unfortunately, because of peer pressure, many of our children are, and it, this sounds so really, really senseless or pointless, but it's true. Many of our children are actually afraid of success.
Right.
And it's not that they are aware that they're afraid of success. They're not comfortable in going at it mm-hmm. because that's not what the rest of the kids are doing.
Right.
I've got to fit in with the crowd. No one wants to take the road less traveled. I've got to go with the crowd mm-hmm. so that I'm accepted, so that I have company, and they won't look at me and say, you're right. trying to be proper. But the truth is, that's what you should be. There's nothing wrong with right. being proper.
Yeah. Oh, see, I had to teach that lesson the other day on being proper.
Right. There's nothing wrong with mm-hmm. being proper.
Nothing
I mean,
wrong
the word
all.
Proper means correct.
Correct.
That's right.
Yes.
So we're not thinking about our verbiage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're not mm-hmm. thinking about verbiage. And I know that the peanut lady, the peanut show, teaches all of that.
It does. It does. And you'd be so proud of the children that are in the show, and they don't just start out being excellent. And I always say, Auntie Roz, you know, the world expects a 10. Auntie Roz expects a 20. So unless you're doing a 20, or unless you're trying to get to be a 20, don't even come here.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Because that's what I expect.
Right.
And I get it.
And it's called, and you being the teacher, you know that's called Pygmalion in the classroom.
That's right.
That's right, because if you expect it, they will give it to
they
you.
They will give it to
they
you.
They will give it to you. They, you've I got remember. To make up your mind. I'm not accepting. Mediocrity is not acceptable.
It is not. Tell you, I remember my mom, the first time I sang a solo, it was at church. I was 10 years old. And my mother was a singer. So all the people at church was, oh, that's good. You're going to be just like your mother, just like your mother. And when I got home, I was waiting for comments from my mother. And my mother said to me, you embarrassed me today. That was not good. If you're going to be a singer, you have to sing. You have to open your mouth. People have to understand what you're saying. And I could see the love and feel it right now that my mother had. She mm-hmm. says, you're not just going to be, you know, it's not going to be about mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be the best that you can be. And I was 10 years old.
And being a child, you didn't understand that then, I'm sure.
But I tell you what I did
understand. But you appreciate it now.
I understood at that time that my mother was speaking out of love. You know, it was not about she was mean to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way my parents dealt with us was it was about love, and they didn't take any foolishness. And I'm proud to have grown up in the house where I did. I have two brothers. And we were encouraged to do and be the best at whatever we went out to do. My younger brother had a career in the professional, with the NFL and professional sports. My older brother had a career in management. He was an agent that negotiated contracts for professional athletes. And we just grew up being encouraged.
Because it was expected.
It was expected.
And nothing less was accepted.
Nothing less.
That's right.
And we loved it.
Right, right.
And
right.
we knew our parents expected it. And they enjoyed us, and we enjoyed them. And, you know, a lot of the kids in the neighborhood thought our kids were, our parents were mean. But we never did. We never did. I've always felt like, oh, if I could be the kind of mother that my mother was, you know, that would just be all in all.
Well, I want to commend you on that at such a young age, because I can tell you those were not my thoughts.
Oh, no.
You know, I had the same thing, you know, but I thought, gosh, my mom is just really, really hard, you know?
Oh, no. But hard is what makes
but,
you.
But it made
and
the
I
difference.
And I could understand.
It really made the difference, and I do appreciate that today.
The next time I sang, I bet you I was not mumbling or wiggling or whatever I was doing. I don't remember, but I always know I've got to do the very best I can.
Right. And that's what she was expecting.
Yes.
You know, it's like the students going to school now. You know, they get the A's and they get the really good report cards, and they wait for a reward. You know, I'm going to give you this for making an A. I never got any money for an A, or, you know, I mean,
that was what was expected.
Absolutely. Was, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I didn't even, I'm sure they said very good or you did well, but there wasn't even a lot of that. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't.
You were taught it was to expected. That was expected. Intrinsic value, but our students now is all that outward motivation.
It's just too much.
It really is. It is too much. I mean, we're just loving everybody and, good job. We're just loving everybody the outside.
I get that from parents. I get that from parents who will come, and I don't usually allow them to sit in when I'm working with the kids, but I am hard. I'm very hard. And they'll say, oh, that was good. I said, that was not good. Don't tell her that was good.
Right.
You know, don't. I said, that was not good.
I have a different set of standards.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Right.
So now, let's do it when it's good.
Yeah.
And they sit there and they see how it improves.
Yes,
minute
right.
by minute. Just
on the other side.
On the other side.
I understand when I was teaching in a certain area. In public schools,
mm-hmm.
I used to tell the parents, it was a part of my opening speech on open house,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to love and teach your children, but I'm not going to love them the way you love them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a different set of standards, and they're higher.
Right.
And I don't compromise.
I don't either.
I don't do that. You know? And it's rough for the parents during that time.
It is.
But on the other side of it,
but they see
Ms.
the difference.
Ms. Vaughn is just the best thing now.
Right. Yeah. They see the difference.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
They do. But, you know, you have to mess it up to get it right. you have to mess up stuff to get it right.
It's like a cake, right? You got to mess it up to get it right.
That's right.
But when it's right, it's right.
It's right. You got to do some cracking and some staring and some stuff, you know?
Yeah. But I'm just really excited about the program. And planning for it, and including the children and the parents, you know, that's good.
Yeah, that's gonna be good. And we're looking forward to that because parents got to be involved in the learning of their children.
Right.
And with the children learning, the parents got to be involved in the learning of that and the teaching.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You know. Yeah. So We learn together. We grow together.
It is a village.
It is.
And we need this village.
Yes.
You know,
right.
We need those people next door.
Right,
that's
right.
Telling us what to do and helping us along and teaching us.
Right, right. So when you come on the 21st, bring your next door neighbors too.
Right.
So they will learn what to teach and how to teach, because it's all about literacy. Everybody's got to know, because in those days when we were growing up, values were across the board.
Right. That's right.
We don't have that now, but if everybody come together, we're going to have at least the values on a block or two.
Right.
Right. It's all about literacy. We want to thank you so much for being our guest today.
Oh, anytime. And thank you for inviting me. I'm excited about the 21st.
We're all excited about the 21st, and stay excited.
Yes.
And our thanks goes to Sun City. Ms. Brenda Francis is doing a wonderful job with planning for us. She really is. And they're all out today at the Black Expo. And let me encourage you to come by our table, our booth. You will find us at Kids Zone. It's all about literacy, the Optimist Literacy Institute. And there's so much other stuff that's going on at Black Expo.